This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball.
Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Hi, Boomer and Geo, coming to you live from the Bill Ford Tough Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
You know, when you travel and you know you got to catch up on some things here and there, and I saw, and I didn't really read into it much, but DJ LeMahieu got hurt again.
Yeah. The calf thing.
This is a calf thing.
But this, I mean, that doesn't really, like, I brought up the heel one because that actually matters. LeMahieu, I mean,
all right, stop. So you got LeMahieu, who's been injured like the last 3 years. I feel like there's always been something wrong with him. And I know that as I'm reading into this a little bit more now, how just, you know, disgusted he is that he got hurt again, especially with what he said he did this offseason to try to curtail some of this lower body injury stuff that he's been dealing with. And then he pulls a calf like on his second at bat. In spring training?
Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
Yep.
I mean, this is 37 years old, and this is why, you know, if you got to be smart about who you're signing, how long you're signing them to. And I know when he first got here,
they had to sign him. We were screaming about signing him. They had to bring him back. They had to.
But this is what happens. Like, this is why guys in their late 30s, no matter what sport they're playing, man, they just are not going to last.
No. I mean, and you kind of, it's not quite the same, but after a really, really great year and signing him to a long-term contract and then just watching it sort of go right down the tubes is sort of a Daniel Jones type of thing. Like, he came here, had that great year. It's like, you got to sign him now. You can't let him go. And you end up signing him, and it does. He never gets back to that form.
You know, it was amazing. When I got traded to the Jets, I remember reading articles like, they're trading for a 32-year-old guy whose best years are behind him and everything. And I remember reading all that. And that 32 at that time was considered older in our league just simply because it wasn't a 24-7. We didn't have, like, freaks like Tom Brady who, you know, basically wouldn't eat a cheeseburger, for God's sake.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And it was year-round. I mean, we were working out year-round, no question about that, but... And now I think to today, and I think, you know, Aaron Rodgers at 41, is going to play again? And Matthew Stafford at 37, signing a 2-year, $100 million deal. It's amazing, but I don't know. I don't know. I think general managers who really have their finger on the pulse do the right thing, and they know when to jettison people and when to, you know, try to get younger in certain situations. I think John Lynch is kind of like the perfect example of that. Now, they didn't have a great year this year. They had a lot of guys injured. You know, Brandon Ayuk was injured. Debo Samuel was in a contract, standoff last year at this time. And, you know, 1 year later, he's removed.
Yeah. I mean, I also think Bill Belichick was the first to start doing that type of stuff. But there were times where he did it a little bit too early, and there were times that he did it right on time. I mean, remember the Ty Law one was a big deal.
Richard Seymour
was another one where it's like they'd rather get rid of the guy too early than get rid of the guy too late. And just from the, you know, you mentioned Aaron Rodgers again, just from that standpoint, because I'm curious to hear what you think, because you always talk about the Bermuda Triangle of the NFL that you played in. So Aaron Rodgers is part of one of the most iconic franchises in the NFL. Green Bay Packers. Wins a Super Bowl there. He's a Ring of Honor guy there. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer. He won 4 MVPs there, right? So he's got that whole legacy wrapped up. Comes to the Jets because the Packers are done with him, wants to do something special, what he believes with a young team. Things just, it's a mess. Doesn't work out. So now he doesn't want to go out on that note.
I don't blame him.
Okay. But if the teams that he could win with don't want him, which is apparently, you know, the Steelers, the Rams, those are two out there. You know, the Raiders, I don't know if he's going to be able to win with the Raiders, but the team that doesn't, don't, the teams that don't want him that he wants to be a part of are saying no. And he's really going to now bounce from the Jets to the Giants? I mean, that scene, that is just like, it reeks of pure desperation for a guy who shouldn't be desperate.
Yeah, but he shouldn't be. But unfortunately, what's happened to him over the last 2 years, and you saw the difficulties that the Jets had and some of the implied difficulties that the Green Bay Packers had later on in his career with Matt LaFleur. He won a couple of MVPs with him. You would think that he would have wanted to stay there.
Yeah.
But he got himself out of there, kind of like the way that Brett Favre got himself out of there.
Well, Brett Favre wanted to stay, though.
It felt very similar to me that, like, the Packers said, this is going to be Jordan Love. We got to give him a chance. And I guess Aaron recognized or read the tea leaves, or maybe he just got tired of the whole thing and they got tired of him.
What's going on with this camera? You guys hear this?
Put your microphone. You hear that?
Construction.
I thought it was construction, not the camera.
It's construction.
You sure?
Upstairs, yes.
Well, the camera was moving when it was, and it stopped, and it stopped. That's why I thought it was.
Yeah, right now that the drilling has stopped.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
God, I was scared of Helen.
Just to go back to Aaron Rodgers for a second. Yeah. You know, what would be interesting to me, if he's going to be a cheap add-on for some team.
Mm-hmm.
Because once the Jets cut him, somebody will just get him for the veteran minimum or maybe a little bit more than that. Kind of like what happened with Russell Wilson and the Pittsburgh Steelers this past season. It would be interesting to me to see whether or not, you know, maybe he goes to Minnesota.
Nah, stop it. He did this with Zach Wilson last offseason. I told you that was not happening. He's not coming to Minnesota. He's not. No way, no how. Nope.
You don't think so, huh?
I know so.
Okay.
Won't happen. He tried to mess with me with Zach Wilson last offseason. Zach Wilson's going to be on the Vikings. It ended up being Sam Darnold and Daniel Jones.
That's right. So now it could be Aaron Rodgers, J.J. McCarthy, and Daniel Jones.
No.
For the Vikings.
No. No.
Like if I were Aaron Rodgers, that's where I would try to go.
Well, he wanted to be with the Rams.
Well, of course he would be right outside of his front door. Just, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but then he is living the life of Brett Favre if he does this. It's the exact same situation.
Well, it's hard to let go, man. That's all I can tell you. And you could think about it any way you want. I'm just trying to think it from his perspective that he probably feels that these last 2 years were such, you know, a struggle and to try to get through all of those things that, you know, he'd like to be able to hook on with the team and hopefully have some success before he bows out. Kind of like Tom Brady did, kind of like Peyton Manning.
Yeah, I know, but he's not. I never thought he was wired the same. That's why this is strange to me.
Yeah, I don't think he's wired the same either. That's why I say that I can understand why the Giants would have the conversation about him, but trying to bring him into the Giant offense without changing it to meet his, you know, demands or needs, that would be really tough.
Yeah, I just.
They start out 2-5, and he's your starting quarterback. What happens?
Yeah, it's a nightmare. But if you just think about him being a complicated fella, as we talk about, that's been something, one of his labels. You know, I really thought, at least when it came to this, that I had him figured out. In the sense of when he thought it was over and teams didn't want him, he'd be gone. You wouldn't hear from him. He'd be doing other things, the things in life that he wanted to do, he's been doing in the off seasons, and he'd be totally comfortable with that. And it's just, that's not the case. Like,
right,
he apparently wants
question.
To hang on.
Let me ask you this question.
Yeah.
So the Titans have the first overall pick, and I'm sure that pick is worth a lot to them. And maybe they feel like there's something in Will Levis down there. I don't know. Why wouldn't they sign him in the AFC South? You're dealing with a new coach down there in Jacksonville. What's the quarterback situation in Indianapolis? And, you know, you got to deal with C.J. Stroud and D'Amico Ryans in Houston. I mean, that's a place where, you know, the Titans were in a lot of these games. Could they go for him? And would he want to go to Nashville? I could see him going to Nashville.
We're talking about two teams that finished 3-14 last year.
I know.
Why would he do that?
Because
they're
that
both going to stink again.
That may be the only option for him.
But why would he want? I mean, he's toiling now.
I could see. Remember when Brett Favre was traded here to the Jets? Everybody thought it was going to be great. He lasted 1 year. Mangini was out of here. The next thing you know, he's playing in the NFC Championship game for the Minnesota Vikings. That's why. You never know. You just never know.
But we're not talking about the Vikings. We're talking. So, like, you know, that was a team that was building up. They had a lot of young players. You know, they had Adrian Peterson and Percy Harvin and Sidney Rice and all of these guys. Yeah, I mean the Titans or the Giants, 3-14. It's insanity.
Yeah, I would think the Giants would only do that, and the Giants are going to have to do something. I mean, they may draft one of these two kids, and coming out of the combine, by all accounts, everybody thinks that Cam Ward is far and away the better of the two quarterbacks with the higher of the two ceilings between he and Shedeur Sanders. And I don't think anybody feels any differently than that. In other words, he looks like he will be the first quarterback taken, and it will either be the Titans or the Browns.
I mean, if the Vikings were serious about it, and I don't believe that they are or will be interested, then if I were Aaron Rodgers, I'd consider that. If the Rams had moved on from Matthew Stafford, I would definitely consider that. Other than that, with teams that had, you know, kind of questionable quarterback situations, I'm not going to any of them.
The only other place that I could even, well,
get your face kicked in at 41 years old.
The only other place, sucks. Depending on what happens with the contract discussions, I you know, you never know. San Francisco.
If they wanted him, yeah, that'd be another spot.
That would be a spot, but he would have to, like, I'm assuming that Brock Purdy's going to get his contract, and I'm assuming that they are working on that contract, and it's going to be a big contract. Because he's already given them, you know, $50 million a year performances two out of the last 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to have to give him a big contract. But if they don't and they hang Aaron Rodgers over his head, could you imagine that?
That one I kind of could. I mean, we've seen some real ruthless stuff happen in the NFL. I think that certainly would be a thing that they could do if they wanted to leverage. But I there's a couple of places I think he could win. Tennessee and the Giants, there's just no way. No way in hell.
So where else? The Raiders?
I don't think he can win there.
He's got the AFC West, and you got to deal with those three other teams in there.
Yeah, I mean, they're also, I mean, what type of roster do they really have outside
Pittsburgh
of Max?
Steelers?
Yeah, but they don't want him. And see, every report is that they don't want him. So, doesn't sound like the 49ers want him either. I mean, the Raiders roster stinks.
I mean, at least I think with the Steelers, at least you get defense and you get some stability.
If the Steelers wanted him, he add that to the list of teams that if they wanted him, I would say go and do it. The Steelers, the Rams are now done. So the Steelers, the Vikings, the 49ers. That'd be it.
But in order to be the starting quarterback, it would have to be like the Giants, or would have to be like the Titans. And maybe, I don't know if there's another team out there that I can even think of. You know, I don't see him going to the Colts.
This is sad. This is like Jerry Rice on the Seahawks. That's what this is turning into.
Well, I mean, a guy loves playing football, and he wants to be a quarterback, and he wants to go out on top. I mean,
that ain't happening.
At least, like, professionally want to finish the season strong. And
he finished this season semi-strong.
Yeah, and he got the 500 TD passes.
Yeah, I mean, it was the whole thing, Jet experience was a mess, but as you mentioned earlier, outside of that Buffalo game, he had played better down the stretch.
Yeah, I wonder what would have happened had they not fired Rob Saleh. You know, that's a big question for me.
Yeah, they definitely got worse, but I don't think they weren't going to the playoffs.
I don't, you know, who knows? He was hurt, didn't play well over in London. Didn't play well at home. It was against the Rams they lost at home, or was it? No, Broncos. The Broncos.
Yeah.
Those back-to-back games, I think it was the Broncos and the Vikings.
Yeah,
the
Vikings in London, and they fired him.
Yeah.
Oof. Yeah, and then that Patriots loss was as bad as it gets. That was
another one. That was a low point, yes.
Oh! Ryan in Putnam County. What's going on, Ryan?
What's up, boys? Love the show. So, diehard Giants fan here. Wouldn't it be the most Jets thing ever for Rodgers to have just like a great comeback year, regardless of where he goes, right? So as a Giants fan, like, that's my only hope with Rodgers, that Like, it's the Jets. You just know that maybe, even at 41, he's going to come back, have a good year somewhere. Why not the Giants? And again, it's because of the Jets. He's going to go somewhere because the Jets, they stunk there, he was hurt. Just because it's the Jets, he's going to go somewhere and have a good year. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I mean, we mentioned it before, Ryan, and you have to factor that in with Aaron Rodgers. I mean, the fact that, you know, Sam Darnold had the year that he had, the fact that Geno Smith won a comeback player of the year. I mean, this is something that happens. The fact that Brett Favre went from the Jets to the Vikings and had a 12-4 season and ended up losing in the NFC Championship game. Yeah, I mean, it would be very Jets for that.
Especially if it is true that the reports were that he wanted to come back and he wanted to play for Aaron Glenn. And they told him no. I don't think they told him no. I think Woody Johnson told him no when he went on Pat McAfee and said this would be the first getting cut by an 18-year-old, making a snide comment that, you know, was in the newspaper about, or The Athletic, about, you know, Brick Johnson running the team and voiding trades and things of that nature because of Madden ratings. And all he did was exacerbate the problem by bringing it up on McAfee.
Yeah. And that's what you get. You get all that stuff. And I just don't see Brian Daboll and Aaron Rodgers getting along. I just don't. I don't. If things aren't going well, I can't see those two meshing.
Hey, you know, when you start looking at what you think is going to, or who you think is your quarterback's going to be next year, right now the Giants' prospects are pretty dim as we sit here today. Because we don't know what their decision's going to be. We don't know what their decision's going to be in the draft, and we don't know what their decision's going to be in free agency. But I will say they're going to have to make it relatively quick. I mean, it's coming soon.
Yeah.
I mean, we are right around the corner from free agency starting, and these decisions are going to have to be, you know, sped up here.
Yeah, I mean, and if the Giants had lost a couple more games last year, they might have had Drake May or Jaden Daniels. If this were a completely different year with quarterbacks, or this were last year, they'd have a shot at one of the top three guys. You know, there's a luck element to this too, that what year you're bad in matters, and the Giants have not caught a break with that either.
I would say the luckiest coach right now heading into this season that is a new coach. Like last year, it was Dan Quinn because he was able to get Jaden Daniels number two. And as it turned out, it turned out to be the greatest thing that ever happened to the Commanders.
Mm-hmm.
They sold the team, they got new ownership, a new coach, and they got a franchise quarterback. So the guy that this year I think is in the best situation to have the most impact, but also is in a difficult division, is Ben Johnson in Chicago.
Yeah. I want that thing to fail, obviously, but there seems like they're on the right track.
They might have the right offensive coach with the right quarterback. Yes.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. What road is this? Is this actually the Belt Parkway that's moving? That can't be possible, right? No way.
Is that
way.
The Belt Parkway, or is that the West Side Highway? I think that's probably
West Side Highway.
It looks like the West Side or Henry Hudson Parkway, as it's known up there.
It can't be the Belt Parkway. That never moves like that. There's just no way in hell. I just saw the water on the right there, and it reminded me of that one area of the Belt Parkway, but it just doesn't move. It never moves.
I think I saw the bike path to the right there, so I've been on that bike path up there.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Did you bring your bike down to San Antonio?
Or? No, not yet.
You could have rode your bike Saturday, springtime in New York.
Oh, boy.
But not this morning when it was 18
winter in
degrees.
The rear view mirror.
By
beautiful
the way,
day
yeah
out there today. No, here we go.
What?
This would be good. When you can't get it out, that usually means something's coming.
Nah, just wondering. Yeah, old podcast you're going to play today?
Yeah, I don't know why that was such a... I never claimed that was yesterday. I just thought it was really funny.
But if it's... Okay.
That's
but
all.
If you saw that it was a year old, you still would have played it?
No, I did see that. I think it was 8 months. A lot of stuff comes through YouTube like that.
Right.
But I'm just looking for sound.
I understand.
I honestly was contemplating playing parts of a Barbara Corcoran interview that I just watched. Because she was railing on marriage, that I thought was funny.
No, I understand that.
So if I misled you guys, I apologize for that.
Okay,
I was just
yeah
looking for something fun. That's
I hear
all
you.
That's,
I good
that's all. If not, you know, I'll just play.
I mean,
Tibbs.
You brought us Rob Conrad last
I did
week,
yeah, and I told you that was months yeah ago. I told yeah you. Well, no, I don't think that interview was from 2015. That incident, I think, was in 2015.
Oh, it was, but the interview about the
was a few months ago or a few weeks ago. Yeah.
Okay.
That's YouTube. That's where you find a lot of fun stuff. The problem is it's coming through your page and you don't know when it's from. That's all. But I don't have to play that stuff anymore.
No,
I'll just
that's
keep
fine
playing Tibbs because he's exciting. I'll play more Ranger highlights. Whatever you guys want, it's fine.
No, I know. It's
I can be as boring as you want.
No. It's not.
It makes my life easier.
Don't get upset.
I'm not. You got coffee coming through your nose.
I know. Please, don't get upset.
Yeah, no, I hear you.
There's nothing better than upset Jerry. And I think
both
Al and Gio love to see upset Jerry.
You haven't seen me upset in a long time.
What I enjoy is when you start going and then he starts barking back at you is one of my favorite interactions of all time. That's what I like to see. I don't want to see Jerry upset. I want to see you two guys battle it out. That's what's fun to me. But it's amazing. Like, the listeners are all over this stuff. Like, you know, this is where I get these tips from. People send me these things. That's from a year ago.
Yeah,
and then someone says, well, at least it's better than the Rob Conrad story from 10 years ago. And
Now, I will agree. I probably didn't position this one as good. On the Rob Conrad one, I specifically told you guys that it was from a long time ago, but I never knew the story, and I thought it was fascinating.
Yeah, you know what it is? It's the social media police that Gio's reacting to.
They're all over. You love the social media police.
Yes, they're all over.
It benefits you.
No, they're all over us.
I do appreciate people listening.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, that's crazy. Sure. You know, but
no question.
Yeah. All right. What do we have here?
Man, Clyde Frazier had 37 the Knicks.
Okay.
This was last night. The Knicks played the Heat, and they went to overtime.
And the reset with Brunson. Three-pointer for the lead. He got it! Jalen Brunson puts the Knicks in front.
And that was Tyler Murray on MSG. The Knicks come back from 19 down and win in Miami. Beat the Heat 116-112. 31 for Brunson. He pretty darn good, especially in the second half and overtime. He finishes 13 of 25. Not a great start to this game. If you watched it, the first half was terrible, actually. And defensively, the Knicks were awful. But they clamped down. Things got better, as Tom Thibodeau says. They picked up.
You know, it was slow in the first half. And some of it was, you know, that we were missing, you know, open threes. And we let that take away from, you know, the intensity that we needed defensively.
Which they didn't have, and it looked like Miami had more intensity defensively, but they did come back and win. This was Jalen Brunson on MSG. A lot of clutch buckets. How does he do it?
It just happens sometimes, but I just stay focused, stay poised.
And here was, you were asking about Mitchell. Well, we were talking about Mitchell Robinson earlier.
Yeah.
And he has impacted, I know he hasn't played a ton of minutes, but he has impacted these games so far in his return. Here was Tibbs.
You know, just help us win, and you know, he's working his way back, but his size is such a huge factor. And then he has the ability to get up on dribble handoffs. He's up on pick and rolls. He's, you know, he was hustling.
Well, that's all. I didn't even realize they have a long road trip after tomorrow night's
game.
That's
what I was saying. You know, they're 2.5 behind the Celtics right now. If you look at their schedules, this part of the schedule is going to be tough because they got the Warriors tomorrow night, and then they got to go on the road right to the Lakers.
Yeah.
And then, you know, after that, they got the Clippers, then Sacramento, then Portland, Golden State. Then they come home for a game against Miami. Wow. Then they got to go back out on the road again.
So 7 of 8 on the road coming up.
Yes. And the thing about the Celtics, if you look at their schedule, their last 5 games, I think does include a Knick game in there at the Garden, but they play like Charlotte at the end twice. I mean, like this, the back end of their schedule is relatively easy.
That's where your head goes when you said Charlotte. I thought you were going to say they play like bleep. I thought that's what you
meant. Okay.
You play like Charlotte. Yeah, I gotcha.
The Celtics did beat the Nuggets 110-103. Cavaliers over the Blazers in overtime 133-129. I give you this from the Thunder Spurs game. This was regulation. This was 4 quarters, 146-132. And in the middle of it, you had a little bit of a dust up.
Picks it up, gives it to Castle, finds a cutting Superman with the hammer. And now we had a scuffle at center court. Kenrich Williams and Julian Champagne. And now Dort mixing it up with Sohan.
And you had Williams and Dort from Oklahoma City get ejected. Champagne he's from St. John's, if you remember him, also from the Spurs. They all got ejected for fighting. The Thunder did win the game 146-132. Something happened out at midcourt. I don't know if there was an elbow or something. They got in each other's faces, and then it obviously escalated from there. Here was Shea Gilgeous-Alexander. He had 41, by the way, for Jalen Williams. But Shea Gilgeous-Alexander had 31, talking about the scrub.
I don't know. It was a blur. I just tried to separate the blur as best as I could. But yeah, I don't I don't even know how it started, what happened. Figure it out.
And he was kind of curious. So Lou Dort was ejected, and as he saw it, made no sense.
I didn't understand it, but I also, like, didn't inquire much. I didn't ask too many questions. They had already made a decision. They're not going to change their decision, and we had a basketball game to go win, so that's what I was focused on.
And they did, 146 points. It's a lot for four quarters, no doubt. And then one from Kevin Durant. Things not going well in Phoenix. They are under 500. They lost 4 out of 5. They got beaten soundly by the T-Wolves yesterday. 44 for Anthony Edwards. Julius Randle had a big game. Here was Durant kind of acknowledging they did not play well.
Yeah, it's tough, man. It's a game, man. We didn't play our standards, up to our standards at all. We embarrassed the fans. We embarrassed ourselves the way we played. I want us to be better.
They embarrassed the fans. All right, not going good for sure. NFL-wise, you had the Rams and Matthew Stafford agree to this restructured contract on Friday. You had Deebo Samuel traded to the Commanders. You got a lot of rumors out there with the Jets apparently listening to offers on Davante Adams. He goes where Rodgers goes, does he not? I mean, I know they're going to try and trade him, but...
Well, it all depends. I would think if I were Davante Adams and I got released, I'm looking at Buffalo, I'm looking at Cincinnati, possibly going out to the Rams to play with Matthew Stafford. That's what I would look at.
I mean, if Davante Adams goes to the Giants, he's not going to want to do that, or the Titans. He's not going to want to do that.
I mean, he may be the number one guy if he goes with him to the Titans or somewhere else, but I think if I were advising Davante, I'd be like, man, get to somewhere, especially if the Bengals lose T. Higgins. If they lose to Higgins, go right there. Or go up to Buffalo and be the number one guy up there with Keon Coleman.
And, is Amari Cooper Shakir. Not back there? Is he done, Amari Cooper?
Maybe.
Hmm. Interesting. Mets Marlins today. You've got Kodai Senga. We'll get the first inning of this game, then head to the backfields to get some more work in. The Yankees have a night game against the Pirates. Max Fried on the mound for the Yanks. I think that's at 6:30, I believe. Played this earlier. Aaron Judge is talking about 2025.
Excited about the team. You know, we got a group here that's motivated, excited to be back. A lot of new faces, definitely. You know, just around the whole, you know, infield, even outfield. But it's a lot of guys that, you know, wanted to be here in New York, wanted to play for the Yankees, and you know, we're seeing some good results out of them so far.
You enjoy these interviews while the game is going on, which is funny. So that was on the Yes Network, as they will now continue. It is amazing. I feel like they've been playing games for a month, and it's only March 3rd.
Yeah. No real beard. We got any real beards going on yet? I haven't noticed.
I don't know the
answer.
Am I
pushing the limits yet?
Well, it would be the closer they just got from the Brewers.
Oh, Devin Williams.
He would be the guy, right? Because he shaved when he first came here.
Yeah, wasn't happy about it.
You would think. So, and obviously you guys got the injury from LeMahieu over the weekend you talked about, yes?
Yeah, yeah, okay. Luis Heal too.
And Luis Heal as well, exactly. All right, NHL, the Rangers taking on the Predators. They had the trade of VC and Lindgren to Colorado over the weekend for Calvin DeHaan and Yusuf Parson, and the Rangers go out and beat Nashville.
And the feeling is, as he said, and here's Panarin moving in, big drive, he scores!
And that was Sam Rosen on MSG. That made it 1-0. 4-0 was the final.
Huge game tonight between the Rangers and the Islanders.
Where is that, at UBS?
No, it's at Madison Square Garden. You know, interestingly enough, Jerry, you didn't bring up maybe the most attended sports.
Oh, the game at Ohio Stadium this weekend?
The sporting event this week. Yeah, the Blue Jackets had the Stadium Series game against Red Wings. 95,000 people showed up at Columbus, Ohio
Stadium. Don't care.
Shut up.
That would, people do care.
They do care.
People do care.
And Columbus has won like 4 in a row right now, and they're ahead of the Rangers and the Islanders in the playoffs right now.
And you did see the numbers for that Four Nations Championship with almost 10 million viewers?
Yeah. Killed it.
It was pretty good.
And almost killed their players.
95,000. How do you even see the game if you're in the upper deck?
Yeah, you don't.
It's a party. It is a party is what it is.
Well, it was definitely a party.
Stop saying that they're not watching. They're watching the game. Come on, Jay. Columbus is a hockey hotbed.
Yeah, I'm sure they're watching it on the screen. My point is...
You can't see the game.
It's got to just be such a... It's a small ice rink in a gigantic stadium.
I know. I went to the first one between Pittsburgh and Buffalo up there in Buffalo. And it was packed. It was like 80,000 people that day. And I'll never forget, Pittsburgh came out with their light blue uniforms.
That's right. The baby blue.
That's right.
So, yeah. Snowing.
It was a beautiful day.
Going to overtime.
Beautiful day for exactly what they wanted.
Didn't they do that in Los Angeles, too, where they were actually able to keep the ice frozen? Didn't the Kings have a game at Dodger Stadium?
I do believe so. I don't know if it was a... that's a good question. Not sure.
All right.
Memorable.
What's this?
It was memorable. That was a real memorable outdoor
game. I feel like I remember it, but maybe not. Here was JT Miller. He scored.
Well, I thought we had a good start, played a good first period. You know, I feel like after we made it 3-0, we were pretty sloppy. But Cookie was unbelievable. Kept that game a lot closer than it maybe could have been.
No, that's probably true. Yes, the Kings and Ducks, 2014 at Dodger Stadium.
Wow.
11
a long
ago.
Time ago. Jeez.
Yeah, I would have thought a little more recent.
It's before Rob Conrad almost drowned.
Shut up. Timeout. I did not report that as just happening. They were recalling
the
story.
That's when George Karl was coaching the Kings.
I can't tell you guys. But we're finished. No more creativity. We're just going
to
play Sheldon Keefe.
Oh, Jerry, stop doing that.
You're going.
Here's Jonathan Quick.
What is it about that seat?
800th game.
What? What is it about that seat?
Yeah, people
get very. They immediately go into that like negativity aspect.
No, it's called self-defense mode.
Yeah.
That's all. If you want to trade one day, that would be phenomenal.
That's not my thing.
Clearly.
That's your thing.
I did it
one time. I was not good at it, and I've never done it again.
Because you only did it one time.
Yeah, but still.
Anything one time is not good.
True. But, I mean, I thought there would be like a little more natural ability to do it, and I didn't.
You'd be surprised. Not that hard.
Yeah.
That's like Eddie always talks about. Like, he could never, like, do a show. Hey, the first time, probably not. Probably be a disaster. Give him some time. He'd be fine. It would be. Have you heard some talk shows?
No, I know, but where are we doing it? Al could do it. Al never says he could do it. He could definitely do it.
Al could do it.
If he found a way to like deal with the callers, he could do it. Eddie,
well,
I don't know.
Deal with the callers the one morning. Went right to the callers when CeeLo walked out. He couldn't have given the phone number fast enough.
There's something between you and CeeLo, Al, because you know you fought with him when you were doing the warm up show, and then last week he outed you having your fundraiser down.
Yeah,
Bradley
maybe
Beach.
That was him getting back at you.
Maybe. No, he's not that smart. That would be way.
He's not that devious.
No. That would be like some crazy next level getting back type stuff. That's like some like Howie Mandel.
I wish I would have saw his reaction to this.
I mean, no, he was devastated. CeeLo was devastated that he did that to Al. Like he felt really bad. There's no way.
So really it just kind of slipped out.
Yeah.
He even texted me later on in the day.
Yeah, that's how upset he was. Yeah,
he has to be totally anxiety ridden.
Tough.
Yeah, I like in all situations like that, like when I could tell somebody's being emotionally affected by things, I tend to go after them more, which is not a good thing, right? Maybe it's a good thing as a talk show host, but it's not really a good thing in life. And I started doing it with my 7-year-old daughter, actually, because the second dog we got, Cash, was just golden doodles, mm-hmm. was fluffy. And we didn't want him to get cut all the way down, but this groomer cut him all the way down. So he came back, and I was telling Sabrina they gave us the wrong dog back.
Oh, God.
And she was like, Dad, they did? I'm like, yeah. I was like, she's like, I'm telling, that's him. I'm like looking at his ears. I'm like, oh, I'm not so sure.
It's terrible.
Like, or mean, man. That is terrible.
But at the end, she laughed that it was hilarious and that she started pretending, you know, like she learned how to bust balls. I'm teaching her a lesson.
Okay.
And she got a kick out of it.
She didn't make her cry.
No, if I really thought she was being upset, you know, it was just like it was just fun to do. And it reminded me of like when Peter Schwartz sits over there. It's like sort of the same type of thing that I was doing. Stop that.
The Devils lost in Vegas 2-0, but more than that, they lost Jack Hughes with what looks like a shoulder injury and looks significant. Here was their head coach, Sheldon Keefe.
Real hard to see him go down. No update. He's going to have to be evaluated. Obviously, it didn't look good, and we're going to have to take our time to know the full extent.
It looked awful, especially that he was laid out on the ice.
I'll tell you what, he's lucky that he didn't hit it like head on, you know, that he was able to turn his head and turn to the side and take it with the shoulder.
Yeah, scary Oof. Stuff. Was it Eichel that got him?
I couldn't tell.
Not good. That's what we do know. And then in golf, Joe Highsmith wins the Cognizant Classic in Palm Beach Gardens. Time now for what we call Moment of the Day. And earlier, Boomer was asking Al about the talks he has given, specifically to college students. And then CBS Sports Network would show some footage of Al in action. And also, well, me and Eddie.
When you open your speech, you say, look, I just want you to know that I'm a boring guy and I'm going to give you a boring speech, but pay attention because there's going to be a lot of good nuggets in there?
No, I do not give any expectations, good or bad, to start. I just ride into it.
Okay.
We had the one day, me and you were there. I forget where that was.
Yeah, but you are like his sidecar. Like
a sidecar?
I mean, like, yeah. It's like you were there. Support.
He spoke. Then I spoke.
Yeah, we were there as equals.
Yeah, but see, that doesn't count as him speaking because you're compared to him.
Oh, there he is right there speaking.
Look at that.
Moving around in that chair. That was at Colonia, I believe. Right?
Yes, Colonia High School.
And that case, I was a sidecar with Eddie. We went to support him.
You did support him, okay. But in this case, you guys both spoke.
Yeah, it was a paid engagement. We both had our time to speak.
College students.
College students?
I believe so, yeah.
Where was it?
I think it was at St. Elizabeth University over there by the Jets.
Why would they show us eating?
Oh, there goes Eddie. That's a corn dog here. Is it a new salad there? Crunchy croutons.
Smile on his face when he was at that buffet. It was great.
I mean, that smirk he had with those tongs in his hand was just perfect. I do the same thing.
There you go. Moment of the day.
All right. Good stuff, Jerry. We'll see you tomorrow.
I'll see you Wednesday.
See you Wednesday. Okay.
It's the Boomerang Geo Podcast from WFAN.
You know, I kind of feel like we're a place where Giant fans go. I know they come to me a lot.
Yeah.
My friends who are Giant fans.
Mm.
And I want to commiserate with them. I want to help them through the tough times. And they are tougher on themselves than I think either you or I could ever be on them.
True.
Because most fan bases are that way.
Indeed.
It's kind of like Joe Beningo with the Jets, maybe us with the Mets and the Knicks over the last mm-hmm. few years. You know, I mean, like, you know, we're rougher on ourselves than really anybody else can be.
That's true.
And I just, like, the Giant fan friends that I have, it's a 50-50 proposition as to whether or not they want Aaron Rodgers or they don't want Aaron Rodgers. Because they know they're, like, in a really bad situation. And maybe if you look long-term, and I don't know. If they have another bad year, it'll be another coach, and maybe it's the first overall pick, and maybe that first overall pick turns out to be Arch Manning.
Yeah, I mean, that's just not, that's not going to happen. You know it's not going to happen. Now, it definitely won't happen. Here's the reason why it won't happen. Because they're going to do whatever the hell they can to win this year and win about 6 or 7 games at the very least. If they were going into this year thinking we got job security and we can suck again, then fine. But you also don't know if he's coming out next year.
Yeah, that's, you know, I mean, when you listen to what the family says, it sounds like he wants to really have the full-on experience at Texas, and I'm sure Texas will make it worth his while financially, and then if he gets started a year later than he normally would, maybe so, or maybe we just have too much expectations for him and too high expectations for him. But again, like Shador Sanders did what he did and he went for 4 years of school.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I appreciate that Shador did that he's more mature. He's played at two different levels. He's played in all his games. I'm telling you, he expects to be good in the NFL. And that's a big part of like a young man coming into a very difficult situation and overcoming it and leading a franchise back to prominence. So I do give him that. I will give him that check mark in that part of the box.
Was not Arch, but was Archie and Archibald?
You know, I don't know.
And then was Archibald or just Arch?
I think it's just Arch.
But can you be Archie? Like, is Archie on his birth certificate? I don't think so. Can't be.
Why?
That seems like, I don't know, back then, someone just name a baby Archie like that.
I would think it would be Archibald Manning.
I don't know why this is popping in my head, but this is the stuff I think about. Yeah, it's actually, you know what, his first name is Alicia. I'm serious.
All right. Well, my first name is Norman.
Yeah, no, but his name is Alicia Archibald Manning III.
Well, there you go.
So that's where that comes from.
Alicia, how do you spell Alicia?
E-L-I-S-H-A. That's Alicia, right?
It's got to be a family name.
And that's probably where they get Eli from, because it's E-L-I.
Yes.
Oof. That's, I mean, at what point are they like, Alicia is now not a masculine name anymore?
Is it Elijah or Alicia?
I mean, I don't know. E-L-I-S-H-A? You don't spell Elijah that way, do you? Alicia? You should know this. You're a quarterback. Don't you know all the names of the quarterbacks?
I didn't know it was Alicia. It sounds like Alicia the way it's spelled.
Yeah.
Because Elijah's with a J.
And then he went with Archibald, his middle name.
Yeah, and then he went with Archie. And
yeah.
And then he got Archie Manning. But I wonder if, I think Arch Manning is an Alicia, too? Let's see here.
Like a reverse?
He's just an Archibald. He's an Archibald Charles. So, they call him Arch. But they don't call him Archie because that'd be confusing.
That's
they call
right.
him Arch.
Right.
So there you go.
Let's go to Cameron. Cameron in Medham. Greg.
What?
Man, why am I having a hard time? Cameron, what's happening?
Cameron from Mendham.
Yeah.
All right. First time caller, long time listener. Saw my first Giants game when I was 9 years old at the Yale Bowl. So I've been a long time Giants fan, season ticket holder since 77 when they moved, built the new stadium in Meadowlands. And through thick and thin, I'm a glass half full guy. And as far as Aaron Rodgers coming to the Giants is concerned, I think there's another perspective that everyone has to consider. There are probably a minimum of five benefits to bringing Aaron Rodgers on. And I think the first one is he's a winner. He wants to win. And he's a Hall of Fame quarterback that we can get for a lot less than $100 million. Secondly, no one I don't think can really dispute the impact that he had on the locker room for the Jets. I think there have been plenty of players from the Jets that said a lot of positive things about him being part of the team and the impact that he had in the locker room. And right now for the Giants, that's super important. The third thing is we've got Malik Nabers. He's a great young receiver, something that the Giants really want to stand behind and get behind. And having Aaron Rodgers on the team, now he's got a veteran quarterback who can get him the ball. And if we get Devontae Adams as part of the package, even better, because now we've got two high-quality receivers. We've got good young running backs. And
Cameron, you might have said this while you were talking, and I missed it, but are you also drafting a quarterback this year?
Yes. And okay. And what you can do is whether it's Cam Ward or Shadur, it doesn't make a difference to me, but it gives them time to see what a veteran Hall of Fame quarterback can do. And then the fourth thing is it frees up money to go get offensive linemen that are going to be worth a damn. Pick up Mekhi Becton, who's obviously looks
boy.
Like he's going to be moved off of the Eagles.
I
know that's a stretch.
It is
and
a
then,
stretch.
And then you can get the other defensive guys to help out Dexter, whether it be a lineman or edge rusher or some linebackers.
Yeah, Cameron, thanks for the call. You know, I don't if it's Aaron Rodgers as the quarterback, then you have to draft someone because there's just no future at that point. But if it were Matthew Stafford, I would have used the pick on Travis Hunter or Abdul Carter, whoever might have been there at three. But at this point, you're going to have to do both. If you're bringing in Aaron Rodgers, you also have to draft a quarterback.
Yeah, I think so, too. But again, like the reason that I would advise against it is just because of the offense that the Giants run. And I'm sure that they could tailor it to help out Aaron Rodgers to do what he likes to do and what he does best. But it doesn't seem like a match to me. And then again, you also said earlier this morning, which I do agree with, I think that you got two really headstrong guys. And one is Brian Daboll and the other one is Aaron Rodgers. And there has to be discussions over there about every single one of these quarterbacks that are going to be available. That there just has to be. And that's maybe why Aaron Rodgers' name has come up with the Giants. And maybe he has reached out to the Giants, has been reported. And that's why we're talking about it. But there are reasons for it and there's reason against it. But the biggest thing, too, is you got to remember that Shane and Dable are fighting for their jobs.
Yeah, and that's why they were pushing so hard for Matthew Stafford. And Aaron Rodgers is going to have to be open to learning new things. He's going to have to be. I mean, you cannot bring that same antiquated Nathaniel Hackett offense into the Giants and think that's going
to
work.
Well, they know if it's bump and run, he's throwing it to him, to somebody, because that's what he does and he's very good at it. But unfortunately, it also makes it easier to defend. And by the way, you know, the Giants don't have a bad offensive line. I mean, like, Evan Neal's not been great, but they went out and they spent money on that offensive line last year.
Yeah, I mean, once Andrew Thomas went down, they were bad. They didn't have a replacement for it. But if he's back and he's healthy and you got a Luminor in there,
Runyon in there.
I mean, you got enough guys. It's not terrible. And the thing about it is that you can always add guards, and just like the Philadelphia Eagles did with Mekhi Becton. The last caller's right. And I don't think anybody is going to give Mekhi Becton a long-term deal. I could see a two-year deal, but I don't see a long-term deal. And if it is a long-term deal, it would be one that they could get out of after 2 years. You know what I mean? Because, yeah. hopefully he's too big.
He gets nicked up all the time.
But hopefully he's learned, you know, what it takes to be a pro. And I'll tell you what, he went right to the right team with the right coach there in Philadelphia, and hopefully he stays there.